The links. Hey, we're live. That happened abruptly. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the Banff Podcast. I am your host, Mike Lafferty, here with my frequent partner in crime, Jacob Blackman. How are you doing, Jacob?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And we are powered by StreamYard and live on YouTube and various other outlets in a couple hours. And we're here today with the guys from Suspicious Behavior Productions, who put out a really cool comic. Let's introduce them. Directly below me in the Brady Bunch grid is adorable Ed Kunell. Did I get that last name right?
Yes. Hey.
Perfect. Excellent. And next to him is Matt Enton. How you doing, Matt?
Good. No nickname. No nickname.
No nickname. You know, the M names lend themselves to nicknames pretty easy, though, right?
Yeah. Well, first issue, I was masculine Matt Enton.
I can see that. I can see that. So yeah. Together, you guys have written a fun comic called Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia, yeah, which is available now at your local comic stores and also on Comixology.
Yeah, and it's available. I'm sorry. It's available on Comixology. It is unfortunately not at. We don't have copies in print yet at retail stores, but there will be after six issues. We'll have a trade that will go to print, and then single issues. Hopefully, at some point, we'll see.
Well, trades are where the money is at. That's what they tell me.
That's unfortunately. Yeah, that's what they told us. It was kind of too late. We'd already made a couple, but. A couple single issues, but that's what we found out
too. Yeah, we have a bunch of those single issues. If people are that curious, we can we'll sell them to them.
Okay.
If you want to message us on Twitter? I just have a whole bookcase over here.
Yeah. We'll meet you by the black van in the Best Buy parking lot at 2 a.m. and we'll sort out.
That's where we're at right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Wait, before we dive too much into business and sales, this is a cool ass concept. Let's not bury the lead. Which one of you guys, since you're tag team writers, who wants to set it up for us?
Well, let's see here. there we go. I'll give you kind of the high-level story. So Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia, it is about this disgruntled professional wrestler named Rock and Roll Rory Landell. And he's angry at his promoter. So one day when he's cutting a live promo, the promoter won't give him the world belt. So he's cutting a promo. Live television, and Rory says, I don't care about the world belt. It's meaningless to me. I'm the galactic champion of the universe. TV signal goes out into space, and 15 years later, it's intercepted by Planet WrestleTopia. So this a whole planet of aliens for whom wrestling is very real. It's their way of life, and they have their own galactic champion, and they are not amused. Hence, Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia.
Cool. Hey, we should mention before we get too far, the art chores are handled by Mr. Dan. Please say his last name.
Scotty.
All right. Just want to make sure I didn't, murder that one. So, and book looks great. And I read the first issue. I thought it was a lot of fun. Jacob, you read all four. What'd you think?
I was just having a lot of fun reading it. Since you didn't get to see in issue two, when the aliens arrive, they start building a cage around Earth. So Earth is a cage match.
Yeah, that's a great scene. Yeah.
And we should mention. I'm sorry. Kendall Good takes over art duties starting on issue four for the remainder of the series.
Okay. Cool. So this is a unique concept, and those are hard to come by in comics these days. How do you guys think this up?
Well, we were working on – we were both laid off from the same video game studio around 2006. And we started just getting together. We realized we liked writing together. We started getting together and working on our own, like, original stuff. Like, we wrote some screenplays. We were having a great time. And Matt and I both have a – we both grew up with a passion for wrestling when we were young. And I think what started it was, you know – what if there was a planet of aliens for whom wrestling was real, absolutely real, and it was their whole way of life? And then what if they invaded, you know, kind of like, these like Mars Attacks and all these movies. And then from there, it just kind of went, well, like, what would you have to do to get a planet of alien wrestlers angry at you? And then we came up with the idea of Rory and, you know, cutting this promo, and it just kind of took off from there. But it was all fueled by our love and our nostalgia for, you know, the wrestling of our youths.
Cool. And people can pick it up on Comixology right now. What kind of response have you gotten so far?
Very positive. We've been pleasantly surprised. And in fact, you know, for all the outlets we've sent it out to, we couldn't bet on everyone being a wrestling fan and being familiar with some of the tropes that we reference throughout the series. But I think the thing that has pleased us the most as the creators has been that, like, we've gotten a very positive response from people who aren't wrestling fans themselves that still find a lot to like in the series regardless. So, I mean, I think it's proven out by the response we've gotten that you don't have to be a wrestling fan to like this series.
Yeah, that's been my favorite review, or some of my favorite reviews for sure, is like two people who just have never watched wrestling going over the comic and what, you know, what they like about it, and, you know, like the steel cage around Earth and that kind of thing. It, those are really fun reviews to read or listen to.
Cool. All right. So what is next for WrestleTopia?
Well, the good news, issue 4 took so long that issue 5 is done. So that's good, right? That'll release. And then, so the whole story will conclude with issue 6. And issue 6 is going to take them just a little while longer. It's a monster-sized issue. But then we'll have the entire story arc in 6 issues. And like I said, then we'll go to a trade. However, the single issues, if you get them on Comixology or if you see them somewhere else in the future, they all have some exclusive bonus content that we worked really hard on and I think is really funny and really cool. That will remain exclusive to the single issues. But then, of course, the trade will have its own, you know, exclusive bonus content that you will not get, you know, with the single issues. So we're hoping to make the whole thing, you know, worth having in your collection. And then, of course, there'll be, you know, film and television shows and toys and fruit snacks and, you know, all that stuff. It will be right around the corner, we're sure.
Yeah. So who are you wanting to cast for Roy Rock and Roll Landell?
What do you think, Matt?
It's funny. So many people, you mentioned Danny McBride, and if Danny McBride could build himself up, if he could, you know, spend some time at the gym, he actually wouldn't be the worst idea.
Honestly, I can see quite a few professional wrestlers enjoying this comic the way it is, because being a wrestling fan myself, I'm loving this comic. You've got the hero on who's going to be on his redemption quest, hopefully, because he's a jerk, and a lot of the wrestlers when they're up and high and mighty, they have those kind of jerk qualities that you just love, because they're wanting to be macho, they're wanting to be big and glorious, and that's what I love about the character. And I also love, with all the different villains who have come to Earth from WrestleTopia, and even though you never see some of their names, they all have a different look, a different style, and you just want to know more about them, and who's this character and who's that character. And some of those you get little blurbs for in the back of the issue, and I love it.
Yeah, it's what we've kind of told the artists, and I think Kendall with issue 4 has been able to do this more just because there's been more more action scenes involving lots of WrestleTopians in issue 4 than there were. I mean, that's partly true. We also had, I think, issue 2, the entire planet gets invaded. But we told the artists, you know, kind of go nuts. Like, we didn't even really describe the WrestleTopians, you know, who are invading. Most of them are just like, just go nuts. There could be a clown. There could be a, there could be a belly dancer. There could be, they'd all just have weird gimmicks. And some of them may just look at them and just not even know what the heck they're going for. But, and yeah, Ken, both Dan and Kendall did a great job with that stuff. It's really fun.
And part of what's been great about bringing Kendall on board, Dan obviously did beautiful work and he established a lot of the character looks. But you know, we sort of turned him into a wrestling fan, and I think it stuck because for Inktober, he's been doing John Cena as the Shadow all month. But Kendall, you know, is a legit wrestling fan. He's worked on Boom Studios, WWE series. So we really have to give him, you know, very little guidance. He's just kind of able to draw from his own fandom and his own knowledge of wrestling. And when he draws these crowd scenes, you know, I'm always just amazed at what he's able to come up with.
I've got the cage being built right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that scene. It's a pair of like astronomers that first notice it, and they have no idea. And this precedes another one of my favorite scenes, probably in the whole series, when after this, the rest of the world quickly realized, there we go. WrestleTopia's been hijacked, a live broadcast of a morning sort of, you know, morning tabloid TV show.
And hit them with a steel chair.
Yeah. And now the whole world knows that WrestleTopians have invaded.
And the invasion is just delightful. Yeah. With the WrestleTopians, especially for one who knows the tropes, the way you would expect the WrestleTopians to be, you know, superhuman in the way that most aliens are usually depicted, but they're only as superhuman as wrestlers are depicted.
It's funny, we've thought about that, and it in a weird way it just makes no sense. Like, but we've decided, you know, if you shoot a WrestleTopian with a gun, it doesn't do anything because it's not, you know, it's not kayfabe, right?
Right.
If you give him a German suplex, then he's writhing on the ground in pain. I don't know why it makes sense, but it's the rule of our little universe that we established, and we're pretty consistent with it.
And you mentioned the steel chair. They don't utilize any weapons that arrest. Like they only use foreign objects, right?
Right.
They would never pick up a gun or a sword. A Singapore cane, maybe, but never a sword. So. Like, they're limited to sort of, you know, the universe in which they sort of inhabit. And that is just, you know, the wrestling world.
And again, with the tropes, you have the Hispanic midget coming in and just totally taking out a whole bunch of them. That was a wonderful scene. The sequence of motions where he's like swinging around light poles, beautifully illustrated. You've really got to read this comic. If you're a wrestling fan, you will love all the attention to detail and the tropes that'll show up.
Yeah. In Mexican wrestling, they actually call them mascotas, which means pet. It's usually a famous luchador will have the little version of themselves.
Yeah. So his name is Mini Macho. And he's one of the characters that we didn't expect to really. Initially, you're just going to see him briefly in issue one, and that was it. But then we kind of thought, hey, we got to bring Mini Macho along for the ride here. He's too cool to leave behind. We really tried to make the action scenes somewhat unique, you know, from each other in terms of, like, maybe with our video game background. Matt and I are write for video games, and we tried to make the locations kind of unique from each other, and then the action that's happening, have that be kind of unique. And I think it's worked out pretty well. It also gave me an excuse to buy lots of action figures. I'll just sit there and kind of just try to plot it out with wrestling figures, and that's helped a lot too. So
those are tax deductible expenses at this point, then, right?
They can do this expense.
Yeah. They're not so actionful, but they just released WWE HeroClix a couple of days ago.
Oh no way! How did I not see this?
Like I said, they released them just a couple of days ago. Unlike most HeroClix, where they come in sealed packs. These come in open packs, so you can see what figures you're getting.
Are they all the current lineup, or do they dip into some of the Hall of Famers?
It's mostly the current lineup, but they've got some really good Hall of Famers, because they've got an Andre the Giant figure. There's a Macho Man figure, Trish Stratus. You know, they've got some of the older wrestlers, but mostly it's the new people.
Dusty Rhodes seems to be in every kind of collection like that they make. His popularity is also real enduring. And there's issue 3. So this is on the cover is Dick Drazen. That is Roar. So the protagonist, Rock and Roll Rory Landell, the guy who gets Planet Earth into this big jam. That's his former promoter, and he gets back involved in the story. He tries to sort of use the invasion and Rory's predicament and sort of turn it to his advantage.
He may or may not be based on Vince McMahon.
and he is just as sleazy as the person he may or may not be based on.
I'm glad you guys went there, because that's what I was thinking. So.
We should have mentioned that as a third rail.
It's funny though. There's a wrestler named Rick Drazen, and he's who might think that Dick Drazen is based on him, and it's just we like the name.
That sounds good. So how do you guys write as a team? That seems like that would be challenging.
We've done it for a long time. So Matt and I met in the early 2000s, and we're writing together on video games back then. And then Leisure Suit Larry, Magna Cum Laude. And we, after that, we had fun writing together. And for me, and also, I mean, I really love writing with Matt. I think we both bring, we complement each other well. We have different strengths and weaknesses, but we work together really well. We also, I accomplish a lot more when I write with somebody else. And I'm just one of those people, that if I'm left to my own devices and without a deadline, without like a client, to satisfy, I struggle. But, when I'm working with somebody else I just get a lot done. I get a lot done faster. Even when we kind of work apart and we say, okay, we both outlined this scene. Now let's go separate and we'll each, work on scenes separately. I just kind of am more productive. I know I got to show something to Matt. I told Matt I would do this. I got to go do it.
We both got laid off from the same studio at the same time. They had laid off about 20% of staff. And so Ed and I basically found ourselves with nothing to do for several months and a lot of time on our hands. So we actually wrote a screenplay together, and we would meet at each other's homes twice a week. And I think that's where sort of a lot of our sort of method and a lot, sort of grew out of. Basically, what we typically do is we'll outline, in this case, we outline the entire series together, and then we'll kind of write a skeleton version of each issue with, none of the details or dialogue really filled in, just what needs to be accomplished in each scene and roughly how many pages that will be. And then we separate and we divvy up. We don't really split it in half. Like we say, I want to do this scene. Can you do that scene? Fine. We figure that out. And then we just sort of, let the other one look at it. And especially when you're doing something in a comedic vein like this, I don't know how, anyone writes comedy as a, like by themselves. You really, you need someone else to kind of, take the temperature and, ensure things are, the comedic beats are sort of working.
Yeah. I mean, if something makes both of us laugh, it's a pretty good sign. And then definitely if there's something like, oh, I think this is hilarious, and Matt's like, feh, I kind of will have to, I really got to rethink it. I'll be like, yeah, well, maybe I'm just high on my own material here. And it that kind of stuff, you get some quality stuff faster, I think, working in tandem.
I like some of the background characters you have here. I don't know why, the Boy Scout character just cracks me up.
Which one is that?
Boy Scout Bob Schultz. Right, it's yeah. Funny, Dan sort of drew him looking more like John Cena, but Bob Backlund was more our model for him.
Yeah, I love my favorite one of there, and I think Matt wrote most of these, but I love Cousin Orville's bio. I think it's great.
The fact that you have Kodiak Jack is just, it's a bear. Yeah, they're wrestling a bear. Why not?
Yeah, and of course, you know, for non-wrestling fans, that happened. Up until a certain point, even I think the 70s, maybe possibly early 80s.
Oh, into the 80s, they were still having bear matches.
What I also love, nobody's pointed this out, but in the first issue, we actually have the bear winning his match and getting a belt.
Yeah, he gets the belt.
Yeah, so that's
what pisses Rory off.
Yeah, so it's like Rory doesn't get a world belt, and the bear becomes like the television champion or something. And it's like the fact that an animal wins a belt just cracks me up. But
I'd like to see them try to put it on him.
Yeah.
So is there any? Do like one of you work on a particular action scene, or do you both work on the action scenes?
Ed does a majority. Ed does 90% of the action choreography. He's just a lot better at it than I am, and I kind of recognize that early on and just let him have at it.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy. I mean, to me, it's an interesting process to just kind of look at this and say, okay, this is an action scene, but. What haven't we done before? You know, what kind of environment? We didn't want every fight to take place inside like a bar and like bar fights. And then of course it's wrestling. So there's just a lot of opportunity to have them do interesting things to each other apart from just punching, and kicking. So we wanted things to look cool. And I think for most of the action scenes, I think we did that. I think we have interesting locations, interesting move sets, interesting stuff going on. Watching a lot of wrestling on YouTube to kind of see, you know, what are some really cool moves that we can show the artists. And, you know, I enjoyed that part of the process more than I thought I would.
I have to say, I really enjoyed the ads here in the back of issue 4.
Yeah, I love those too. I think Matt wrote all that stuff as well. But
I used to work. I left the video game industry for about 4 or 5 years to work as an advertising copywriter. So it's sort of just, you know, it's a skill set I picked up during my time.
Yeah, I should mention. We should mention that Scott Hualchek drew that for us. So Kendall did took over the art duties for the comic in issue 4. But we had Scott do back matter for us. It was just faster to have a separate artist focus on it. And he does the colors for his art as well. And he did a fantastic job there, obviously, with this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of back matter from the old days. I don't know what it is, but indie comics, you get to the end, there's always a preview for something else. You're like, oh, I don't know about that book. But this was a real fun thing here. So thanks for that.
It was really fun to do. I mean, there's a temptation to use the last page to tell more of your story because it does get tough, you know, to fit everything. But I love the back matter. I hope at some point it encourages people to pick up single issues, whether digitally or in print or something, because we did put a lot of, we did put a lot of work into it, you know, concepts and writing and art. It's not judging anybody that just wants to, put their concept art back there at all, but we really went, I think, the extra mile to create some fun, cool back matter.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was inspired by the fact that we just kind of like dug out our old boxes of wrestling magazines. And, a lot of these ads are pretty dated and kind of hilarious by modern standards. So, we explicitly in certain cases referenced like Rory's album. I don't know if you remember Michael P.S. Hayes. He's still working in the industry, but he was one of the fabulous Freebirds. But he put out a terrible rock album. Like, so big was his ego that he thought he could, be the next, arena filler. And he's also basically, he's naked with a rebel battle flag draped over himself. Of course, we took that part out. But
you have to. I understand. Yeah.
I actually had Michael Hayes' single, Bad Street USA. I had it on cassette, and I forget what else came with it, but I actually went in the 80s, purchased some of his music. I'm not proud of that. But
He actually put out an album 2 years ago. He's still doing it.
Oh, wow. I don't have that one. I did not buy it.
It's on Spotify, and he has a song about asking why can't children pray in school.
You can make a lot of money servicing that particular demographic, but there you go.
But the thing is, if you're looking for good wrestling music, I honestly recommend Chris Jericho's band Fozzy. They're a pretty decent metal band.
It's really interesting to see that. I can remember when he kind of left WWE and was talking about like he was going to really focus on that and thinking, I don't know, man. You got a pretty good gig going on with this wrestling stuff, but it's amazing to see he has a pretty big following.
And he charts. That's how he charted, and he's able to fill clubs.
Yeah, this most recent album he's released has just some amazing hits on it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting too because it just felt, and I should say I don't really follow wrestling much anymore, but it really felt like. Once somebody left the WWE and was like, yeah, I don't need the WWE, I'm sick of this stuff, and they left, it was like within like 3 weeks, their lives were, they were absolutely done. Their career was over. Their lives just implode, and that was it. Like once you left the WWE, you had no hope. Now it's just like it's amazing. Yeah, Chris Jericho was able to just kind of leave, well, sort of at the top of his game, start a rock band. Social media, I think, is changed everything.
So social media has made it so you can keep in touch with your fans. You can you can tell them about projects you're working on aside from the wrestling. So it changes everything.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. We'll hopefully we'll get him to be a fan of WrestleTopia at some point.
So to get back to WrestleTopia, have you once you're finished with the six issues and you got all those out, are you thinking of branching out with it into anything else? Like, because you've mentioned you make video games, you could make a wrestling video game with WrestleTopia, maybe a RPG supplement using one of the superhero games.
Tabletop RPGs is where the real money is these days, guys.
There are some tabletop wrestling games that have come out in the last few years. I mean, part of the reason that we partnered with Starburns is they sort of see all the titles that they're publishing. They kind of see this as sort of like an incubator for IPs that could potentially be expanded into other media. And obviously, because of Dan Harmon and Dino Stamatopoulos with their film and TV connections, I do believe that this could be like an Adult Swim series or something like that, or even someone could make, an indie wrestling game based on the WrestleTopia universe.
Jacob and I, we're in the RPG business, so.
We will gladly sell you the tabletop rights for this.
And I do know an independent film company, Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, and several people among them are huge wrestling fans.
That's really funny. I was the second person to mention that company to me just this week, and which is not a coincidence. I hadn't heard of them really before this week, but that's. Yeah, we should give a shout out our publisher Starburns Industries.
Dan Harmon, how you doing?
Yeah, and the publishing arm of Starburns Industries, Dan Harmon was one of the co-founders, and they are one of the production companies behind Rick and Morty and Harmon Quest, and they have some other great comics too. We should give a shout out to B Squad. And to Oddwell and Halicious, and their goal.
I literally haven't heard of any of those comics.
Most wanted.
And some of them you can find in retail. I think Halicious and Oddwell and Long Ago, Far Away. Griffin. Some of them are Comixology only. Some of them you can find in print. But their goal was to make things that were funny, strange, sad, and beautiful. Is their motto, and I think there's some excellent comics being put out now by Starburns Industries Press. And I was just going to say we really wanted to tell the story because we love this story. We just couldn't sort of let it die, and we figured, okay, we've been writing for video games for years. We haven't done comic books, but it's a visual medium, and it's we could self-publish this if we had to, and we did that initially. We finally found Starburns to publish, which has been great. And we would hope we're going to still make comics. I think we'll take a little break from WrestleTopia when we're done, but I think that we're going to keep making comic books. And hopefully, if there's someone out there, and who again, as Matt said, wants to help us put it out there in some other form, that would be great. But if I think what we said at the beginning is, you know what, if nobody reads this, if our parents don't even read this.
My parents haven't.
Yeah, I don't think my dad would. I think that, we'll at least feel like, hey, we put this out there into the world. It deserves to exist. And hopefully good things will come of it so we can make more.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Starburns Press website, because I literally hadn't heard of anything from them except for your guys' book. So
for sure, yeah. It has its own website.
Yeah, but they're right now, StarburnsIndustriesPress.com. So, yeah, cool. But,
they're doing some really cool stuff, and yeah, there you can see. I have read all. I have all the comic books that they put out, and it is really. I mean, it's funny, strange, sad, and beautiful is a great way to describe them. And it's everything. It's kind of what I like out of comic books right now. I'm just in a phase right now where I'm not super into superhero stuff, and so the kind of stuff that Starburns puts out is up my alley.
And Harmon actually did a graphic novel for the Starburns imprint, which basically. Why do I always blank on it, Ed?
Gregory Graves.
Yeah.
And Harmon was one of the writers. It's a good graphic novel. I've read it. It's really fun. It's kind of like if it puts a twist on the Superman Lex Luthor sort of relationship, where like the Lex Luthor character is maybe not as bad as we think, and maybe Superman is not so super. And it's a really good story. Yeah.
They've done some interesting partnerships with comedians like Patton Oswalt and
I saw they had comics.
Yeah, and I forget who else. God, they've done. There you go, Patton Oswalt,
Paul Scheer,
yeah,
Jackie Cashin, yeah. Quinta Brisson, Megan Custer. Wow, a lot of big names there. Yeah,
yeah. Well, they have famous friends. We do not.
Yeah. I understand. That's pretty cool though. All right, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, actually, when I was living in Tucson, you ever been to Laughs?
I have not.
I was doing stand up there while I was in town.
Cool. So. Yeah, I need to explore the city a little more. We're up in Oro Valley, like near the Tucson border.
Okay.
But, you know, we need to get out and kind of explore the city more than we have.
Sabino Canyon's nice. Nighttime hikes in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're excited now that the temperatures are tolerable.
That's the nice thing about fall in Tucson is you can go outside and not die. So, yeah, it's all right. Well, it has been great talking to you guys. Love to stay in touch. This sounds like a really cool cool project. And thanks for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
What's it like dealing with Dan Harmon? Is he an all right guy?
We've never spoke. We are well insulated from him. I don't think we don't have any real reason or call to interact with him. But the person at Starburns who oversees everything is Simon Ore.
Okay, cool.
He's a great guy. I mean, Starburns has been really cool to work with, and maybe at some point we'll fly down there and go to Dan Harmon's house and ask to swim in his pool or something.
Maybe just stay there for the next month or so, you know, whatever.
just hanging out. Dan, you got any beer? Because we're thirsty.
Issue 5 will, it'll hit Comixology. I think we're going to wait, push it out a little bit, like December 14th, maybe. And that way it'll give issue 6 a little breathing room. But issue 6 will come out in February on the trade later in the spring.
Okay. And the trade's available in Dead Tree version, right?
Yes, it will be. It will be at your local comic shop and Barnes & Noble and places like that. And
Should probably get guys back on. You say that's February that happens, Q1?
February issue 6 will be released and the story arc completed. And then the trade probably more like, April or May. April. Not quite yet. But.
We should probably have you guys back on then to do a little
more. We'd love to do it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having us.
Ed, thanks for coming on. Appreciate the time. Just for any listeners who dropped in late, Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia is on Comixology right now, issues 1 through 4. It's a fun ride. Check it out. And thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate talking to you. Do we have any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Peace, love, and brown rice.
All right, cool.
Please sign up for the Banff Patreon.
Yes.
Helps keep this show running.
Click subscribe. Go to the Patreon. Come on.
Free writer.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys. Catch you next time on the Banff Podcast. Yep. And we are out. There's always an awkward